141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we prepare to welcome in the final weekend of the league season in Scotland. A day of mixed emotions lies in wait for Celtic with the trophy presentation and a goodbye to Tom Rogic and Nir Beaton. Rangers confirm fan zone plans for Seville but none for those staying in Glasgow. And tonight's the night we find out if Arbroath or Inverness will face St Johnstone for the last remaining spot in the Premiership next season. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
There won't be a dry eye in the house tomorrow at Celtic Park in broad daylight too, because it's the title winning party for Ange Postecoglou and his Celtic players. And as you say, Gordon, it's farewell to Nir Beaton and Tom Rogic, the Wizard of Oz. What a bargain he's been. Signed from South Coast Mariners in 2013 for £400,000. That works out at less than £50,000 a season. He's won everything several times over. And you can look back on some memorable Tom Rogic goals this season that have taken Celtic to the title.
And Kenny Miller, it might be the case that you play up front for Rangers tomorrow, such as the level of rotation, because I think it's safe to say, if it wasn't the case already, it's all about Seville midweek rather than an away trip to Tynecastle.
Yeah, again, as we approach the last weekend of the season, there's nothing to be decided. Every game's dead rubber, if you will. So it's, I know, I suppose you've still got fourth and fifth. Who finishes up in the European position? So there's still that little kind of bit to sell. But yeah, moving forward, it's all eyes on Thursday night for Rangers, and albeit after, I think people have forgot there's a Scottish Cup final coming up as well. That being how big the Europa League
you need to make it back from Seville first for that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think the players will be fine, but there might be an empty Rangers end if Rangers get the job done next Thursday.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you, Celtic fans. Trophy day tomorrow. How much are you looking forward to it? And what about the news that Tom Rogic is leaving? Did that come as a surprise to you? How do you look back on his time? Such a contribution. How sad will it be to see him go? Or is it the right time? I don't know. Maybe you'll surprise me and think that it is the right time to say goodbye. Nir Beaton's been a long servant as well. So what did you make of that news today? It's goodbye Rogic and Beaton. Pick up the phone and let us know. Rangers fans, again, it's a mix between football tactics and logistics. I think there's been an update on fan zones in Seville. Nothing doing here for those that are staying in the country. So please do pick up the phone. We'll hear some good stuff from Ryan Kent and the manager as well on the game. And tomorrow, is it as simple as that? Does every single member of the starting 11 for Wednesday get rested tomorrow? Every single one? Or is there a bit of a mix in there for you? Let us know on the phones. 0141 951 1025. And by the way, we're going to give you the chance to win a pair of tickets for tomorrow's game at Celtic Park for Trophy Day, and you can help with an amazing cause at the same time. So it's the ultimate win-win. It's Celtic's first home game, of course, since winning the title. They face Motherwell. Tickets are sold out, so if you want to go, you can enter this competition and you'll help the children who need it most here in Glasgow and the West. So for your chance to be there and donate a fiver to Cash for Kids at the same time, text Celtic to 84901. That's Celtic to 84901. The lines are open until 8 o'clock tonight, so you really can't hang about. By the time we finish, that'll pretty much be it all over. So get the text in. Winner drawn at 9 p.m. Text costs a standard message rate plus the optional £5 charity donation. You can check the full T's and C's at Clyde1.com. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And what a time we've got, Hugh Keevans. As Kenny says, yes, there's nothing major to be decided in the top flight this weekend, but what about for those who are trying to get into the top flight? Let's not forget about that game tonight. Arbroath, yeah. Inverness played to a finish tonight, and St Johnstone lie in wait.
Dodgy, I mean no harm, but I would love to see Dick Campbell win that match and the part-time Arbroath take on St Johnstone, the winners of two cups last season, now in serious decline. I think Arbroath have a chance. I watched the first leg last Friday night in Inverness. Arbroath had the first half. Inverness were all over them in the second half, but could not score. Squandered chances. I just think there'll be a nice crowd at Gayfield tonight, and I think the Bunnet can get them across the line.
Listen, it'll be a tight game. I think again, this is pretty much as it was a few weeks back when Arbroath were playing Kilmarnock. The holy Scottish football was against Dell and his team that night. They got the job done. I think it'll be pretty much the same again tonight. A lot of the neutrals wanting Arbroath to go and finish the job off that they've been so close to achieving automatically. But Inverness are a good team. I was actually at the previous game against Partick Thistle and I thought they were very, very good. I thought they would get the job done in the second leg. They did get it done. So they are a good team. It'll be a really good game. Obviously, the prize that's waiting for them is obviously St Johnstone and a chance to get into the Premier League. So huge, huge achievements there for both teams.
Right, come on, you know the drill. 01419511025. What's on your mind? Whether it is the game in Seville, the trip to Seville, the arrangements for Seville, whether it's trophy day and goodbye to Tom Rogic, your tributes to players that have served you, Celtic fans, so well. Please do pick up the phone and let us know. Let's see who's first through then. He can set the tone. It's Paul, who's a Rangers fan from Kilmacombe. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Yeah, hello, good evening, panel.
How's it going,
Paul?
Yeah, just a wee bit miffed about Rangers not having the fan zone at Ibrox. You know, Stuart Robertson came on and said that, you know, because all these security staffs are away in Seville, but Frankfurt, they're having a beanbag to their stadium. And I would imagine it'd be the same for Frankfurt. All their security staff will be in Seville. So if they can do it, why can't Rangers? And I mean, you know, they forget a bit as well. Rangers fans have really supported the team over the last good few years when we've been down in the lower divisions. We've come all the way up, still supporting. And I think it's really bad that they haven't got anything on here in Ibrox, the home for home, you know, for the fans, just to see what the panel think. I'm going myself. I'm going myself to Seville, and I'm glad we've. And the mayor of Seville has said he'll welcome Rangers fans with open arms. It's good business.
Do you know what? Well, I like that, Paul, because that means you're not only interested in your own situation, you're sparing a thought for those who are not heading over. Let me just update the facts, Hugh, for anyone you know who's missed it today and just tuning in. So Rangers announced today the match will be screened at the Cartuja Stadium where Celtic played in the 2003 final. So that's for supporters without a ticket for the match. They can gather there and watch together. However, as was hinted at yesterday, and as Paul raises, the club confirmed it was unable to arrange a similar beamback for Ibrox, stating safety staff required for such an event would all be in Spain. They have said that they would like to, you know, thank UEFA, Spanish police and local authorities for the cooperation over there. There's also a fan zone over in Seville as well, away from, you know, I don't think the game's on there, if you like, somewhere to gather. So whilst we understand the wish for supporters to be able to gather at our home for this momentous occasion, we don't have sufficient staffing resources to host such a large event. We couldn't safely operate this an event of this size without the presence of the safety team they're required in Spain and so on. We acknowledge and understand the disappointment and frustration, but there was no safe way of delivering a match day screening. It's not washing with fans like Paul. Others may be on board. Paul's the first one through and he's not having it.
Well, first of all, it's a complex matter. If you have 50,000 people inside Ibrox, or let me say tens of thousands of people, 20, 30, 40, maybe even the whole shebang, 50, you then require to have match day security in place. Mm. And that means the police, Police Scotland have to be there in the same number that they would be if Rangers were playing a league game at Ibrox. That's a situation for Police Scotland to address. Rangers, I'm slightly surprised, because it does get the Rangers fans in there. It does have a safely contained unit about it all. And if they have security staff, do all of them need to go to Seville? I don't know.
Well, but that's what they say, yes. So I think the answer to that is yes. And Hugh's right, you know, that there would be resources have to go into it. And Frankfurt are maybe dealing with a different police force and a different local authority. So we don't know if you're comparing apples and apples. But you can understand, Kenny, why fans like Paul on the outside are saying, well, hold on a minute, Frankfurt are in a very similar boat, if not in the same boat, and they're beaming it back to their stadium. So why can't we?
I can understand, fully understand the frustrations behind it, because not everybody can get there. Again, we'll probably hear some stories about logistics and some wild routes that everybody's going to be going on to get there next week. So there's a lot of fans tens of thousands of fans, like Hugh says, it would be loving to turn up next Wednesday at Ibrox to watch the team hopefully lift the Europa League. On the other side of it, I genuinely think what Paul says, the support of the Rangers fans, forget the journey, the whole journey the club's been on over the last 9 years, but the support alone in this European journey has been absolutely sensational. I mean, the support is, again, has been talked about for a number of years now, and what it's meant to the football club to have that. I mean, I was at a game against Peterhead in Division 3 when there was 50,000 there. You know, it was absolutely sensational. So the support has been unwavering, and it's completely... I'm sure Rangers are thankful for that, and they are. So if they could have done it, I would be very surprised if they didn't. You know, so as much as I can understand the frustrations, I'm sure everybody involved and connected with Rangers Football Club, if they could have done it safely and were able to do it for the fans that have been so supportive over a long, long time, I'm sure they would have done it.
So what situation do you find yourself in, Paul? You're going to Seville. Do you have a ticket, or are you be watching it at this other stadium?
No, I haven't got a ticket, no, and I think it's even going to be hard to get a ticket for the other stadium with the amount of fans that are going to go to Seville. But there's another company that's been on saying they're going to have a fiesta for Glasgow fans. I mean, it's a great business opportunity for them out there, you know what I mean? Especially after COVID and everything that Spain's went through with tourism, and this is a massive thing for them. But there has been rumours there's 80,000 German fans going. I mean, this is going to be huge for Seville. Absolutely huge, you know what I mean? But I just feel aggrieved that the guys back here, there's a lot of guys I know that aren't going to make it to Seville. And let's face it, when we win next Wednesday, Ibrox is going to have tens of thousands of people there anyway.
Well, when we win, he says, that's the confidence.
Love that, yep.
That confidence in there. Yep. Hugh, the whole frustration can probably be extended to the fact that the stadium that the Beamback is on is the one that you went to when Celtic played in Seville, and that's bigger. That's bigger than the one
that's
that the
daft it is, yeah.
Matches on, so that's not ideal.
I can understand people being aggrieved. I don't know where we stand with regard to a place like, off the top of my head, Glasgow Green, where...
And an events company comes in and does it for you, and then it doesn't matter if Rangers safety staff or security staff are in Seville or anywhere else for that matter.
Because whoever is putting on the event will also have to understand that they have to pay for the police. Because they say, you can't have tens of thousands of people in a city location and not have it properly policed. But I cannot stand here and say that Stuart Robertson is trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the Rangers fans. If he says it can't be done, I have to take the man at face value. If he says it can't be done, it can't be done.
This is where the challenge is on this show. You're asked to turn your hand to a lot of things. You know, we're events organisers now. We've tried a lot of different things over the years, never events organising. So why not? We'll give it a bashing. See how we get on. Thank you to Paul and Kilmacombe. Enjoy your trip. Let's hear from Ryan Kent. This sort of sums up as well, you know, where everyone is at. He says they're all gearing up for the biggest game of their careers, for sure. And he says everyone and anyone getting in contact with him to try and get a ticket.
It's incredible, you know, for everybody associated to the football club. You know, on a personal level, it's something that I've always strived for in my career to, you know, try to get to the top in football. And, you know, it's an opportunity that I'll be relishing. Yeah, without a doubt, everybody in the teams, it's the biggest game of their career. You know, I don't think we'll let the occasion get the better of us. You know, we know what's still ahead of us, but yeah, without a doubt, it's the biggest game. You know, we've come up against some top-class opposition. Nothing changes going into the final. I got family I didn't even know I had asking for tickets. But yeah, so it's great for everybody, for everybody's family to, you know, be involved in something like this.
01419511025. Jeffrey is hanging on the line in Giffnock. What's your point tonight, Jeffrey?
Good evening, thank you very much for the programme the other night. Wednesday night was a good programme. I'm just a wee bit aggrieved at what's going on at Ibrox just now. When Rangers knew they were coming to the final, they could have done something to appease the fans that can't travel. They could have put a Beamback at Ibrox. That's been done before, but not in 2008, unfortunately. I just don't understand why they couldn't have done something at Ibrox. I know it's so little notice. You only had a 2-week notice, but knowing that Rangers could have got into the final, they could have done something.
Yeah, I think the official answer is that, you know, we mentioned it earlier, the security staff that would be required to make that go ahead at Ibrox will all be in Seville. That's Rangers' official explanation. I can detect that a lot of fans aren't buying that, Geoffrey. I appreciate that. I can't tell you how to feel, but that's the official line.
I don't agree with that. I mean, they could have got security from somewhere else. I mean, there's other security firms that would probably go to Ibrox and do the game. I don't accept that. I mean, it's just a slap in the face to the fans at Ibrox for their support through the season. And I would also like to congratulate Celtic on winning the league. I mean, we threw it away. We've thrown it away the second half of the season by losing stupid points, drawing too many games. Celtic deserved it.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, again, that's two who are just on the same frustration, and Rangers have offered their official explanation. I think what's not helping the Rangers board here is the fact that all the other finalists appear to be beaming it back somewhere. Not necessarily into their stadium with full crowds, but, you know, whether it's just a venue in the city centre, it looks like all the other clubs who are in finals of European competition are managing it. Now, whether that is an unfair comparison or not, I'm sure the Rangers board would point that out, but that's clearly what's fueling fan frustration from Geoffrey and Paul and others.
I am speaking now as a layman and not as someone who, as we agreed earlier, we are not events organisers. However, the minute John Lundstrom's shot hit the back of the net, were I on the Rangers board and had some sway in these matters, I would have thought, right, we know what's going to happen here. There is going to be an immense migration of fans to Seville. Tens of thousands. But there will be tens of thousands who can't get to Seville for whatever reason. And we need to accommodate them here at Ibrox. Now, as I say, I'm a layman. I don't know how many people are employed in terms of security at Rangers. But I have to think that you liaise with Police Scotland and say, this is what to do.
Yeah. And that may well have been happening in the background,
if
for
that,
sure.
If that has not happened, then I have to think, and I cannot give a definitive answer, I have to think that's because Rangers and Police Scotland couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. I think that's and also where the frustration comes, Kenny, and this would be out with Rangers' hands and sort of falls on UEFA. Only 9,000 tickets have been given for this game. So it's all well and good us saying, ah, but don't worry, 90,000 will go. You know what we're like, we travel in our number. But only 9,000 tickets. So though, what if those other 82,000, and I'm just throwing these numbers out, had decided to just not travel and take some of the earlier advice in the week and say, well, I'm not going to a foreign country without a ticket for the match. Then how many people would you have here who want a sort of organised communal way of watching the match?
As much as we've discussed it already, you have to take it at face value at what the statement is and what the reasons behind it are. For me though, again, I'd go even one step further than what you said. Forget Lundstrom's goal going in. There is a potential to
provisional
make,
plans
absolutely.
Before that.
14 years ago, we've seen what had happened with 250,000 descending on Manchester. You know, like, that is the kind of level of support that these clubs get. You know, so could there already have been talks in place? If we do make the final, can we have either been back to Ibrox and can we have a separate company or an events organiser coming to do it? Or is there a different venue in the city where we could house 10, 20, 30,000 fans? At least it gives them somewhere that they can watch the game together and hopefully celebrate a Europa Cup win.
Anyway, it's supposed to be a time of excitement and optimism and looking forward. Geoffrey, I know it's not the build-up you wanted, but try and enjoy the week coming up. That was Geoffrey in Giffnock on 01419511025. Celtic fans, big news today. Tom Rogic is leaving at the end of the season. So is Nir Beaton. What did you make of that news? Does it surprise you? Does it disappoint you? Is it the right time? And how do you look back on the contribution that they've made? We'll hear from Ange Postecoglou and we'll hear from you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here at 01419511025. And you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Some breaking news for you Celtic fans today, and I'd be very keen to get your reaction to it, that Tom Rogic and Nir Beaton are to leave at the end of the season. How do you feel about it? Was it a shock? Is it the wrong time, the right time? And how do you look back on their time at the club? They have said they want to try new challenges after helping Celtic win this latest title. Of course, they'll say farewell tomorrow. And yeah, quite the contribution from them both. Let's hear from Ange Postecoglou, and then we'll bring in Chris and Cambus Lang. He says that they all agreed, Rogic, Beaton and the club all agreed this summer was the right time to part ways. However, he's delighted that they can get the perfect send-off tomorrow.
I think it's great news. Both Tom and Nia, I've always had discussions with them during the year about, you know, their futures, and both players who've given an enormous amount of service to this football club, and they've enjoyed every minute of it. But, you know, they're two guys who, you know, come from, you know, the other side of the world. And I think at some point you need to have these discussions about, you know, what their next step is going to be and what I really wanted. And, you know, fortunately the scenario played out. I just wanted them to go in the right manner in respect that, you know, I'm sure the fans, you know, want to acknowledge them tomorrow and say goodbye in a proper way. And I know the players do, you know. So I think it's a great day for our football club. It doesn't always happen when, you know, these kind of things reach a conclusion. Sometimes, you know, football can be a pretty brutal industry. But I think in this scenario, I think we as a football club get to honour two of our greats, and they get it. The opportunity to say goodbye, you know, at Celtic Park in front of 60,000 as champions.
What did you make of that announcement today, Hugh? And how would you sum up their contribution?
First of all, it had to be made today. You have to let the fans know that tomorrow is your chance to say goodbye to Tom Rogic and Nir Beaton, whose contribution to Celtic over the 9 years they've both been there has been immense. Tom Rogic this season has scored memorable goals. Goal of the season, as voted for by PFA Scotland against Dundee United at Tannadice. And the game at Ibrox when Celtic won 2-1. The way in which Celtic went a goal down, and it was mayhem, but the way in which Tom Rogic caressed the ball into the net to make it 1-1. That's the trademark Tom Rogic. And who will ever forget the cup final? Thunder, lightning, Rogic goes into the penalty area with a minute to go and wins the cup. That's the kind of contribution he's made. Nir Beaton, a steady Eddie, always there for Celtic, always there to plug any hole that needs to be plugged, and again, has been rewarded by many, many trophies. Emotion will hang in the air tomorrow. Ange Postecoglou will now give them a Hollywood send-off, because they'll either start and come off to an emotional farewell, or it'll bring them on late on again for an emotional farewell.
34 honours between them, Nir Beaton and Tom Rogic. So it's quite a change, players that have been there for a long time. Let's see what Chris and Cambus Lang makes of that today. Chris, how would you sum it up?
Hi Gordon, Hugh and Kenny.
Hello.
I just think Ange Postecoglou, I don't think the guy said anything wrong all season, to be honest. He's in his interview there. I spoke to a few of my mates this morning. They were all shocked at the news, with Tom Rogic especially, but I'll be honest, I'm not surprised. I think I was really surprised he actually stayed on. If you looked at him at the end of most of last season, I think he was playing with his head down, lack of confidence. You know, it was his worst season in the jersey, to be honest, but this season has just been a complete turnaround. And I think the way I've seen it is Ange might have got them together at the start of, you know, the start of this season, and say, right, Tom, let's have one big kind of last hurrah kind of thing. Obviously known him for Australia and things like that as well. And he's like, I think he's just said, give me one last big season. And he's absolutely played out his skin the whole year. And obviously delivered the title with the rest of the guys. But I'm not shocked in the slightest, and I actually think it's probably the right decision for him to move on. You know, I think next season with the Champions League coming up, I think the way Ange needs to go, or the way he might be thinking, is we need more box-to-box players in the middle of the park, the way Callum McGregor is, for example. In terms of the SPL, we've scooshed it, obviously, you know, ever since the last defeat in October, I think it was. You know, we've not lost any games in the league, but I think in Europe we've been exposed, and I think in the middle of the park, we need more guys in the middle that can get up and down the park, like Callum McGregor, for example. I just mentioned a goal because I think Tom As a, you know, he's an athlete, but I don't think he gets up and down the park as well as he did maybe when he was a bit younger. And he's obviously had criticism. We only lasted 60 minutes here and there and things like that. So I think Ange will try and bring in, you know, younger, fresher midfielders that can get up and down the park better, you know.
It's a fair point. Kenny, how good's Tom Rogic been for Celtic in his time?
I think he's a wonderful player. was on the receiving end of a lot of his top performances over that spell where he scored, seemed to score against Rangers every time they played. You know, he's a, you know, it's in that player. I mean, just to touch on what Chris is saying there, you're right. Maybe he's not that type of player. You know, he's not the type of player that's going to go box to box. He's got great legs and energy. He's a technician. You know, and as far as they go, you'd have to look far and wide to find a better one that's played the game over the last 15, 20 years in Scotland. The way he receives the ball, the big moments that he creates. Yeah, listen, players don't always play to the top of their game. You know, but when the big moments are called on, the best players deliver. And I think over the course of Tom's Celtic career, he certainly has done that.
Yeah, it's funny, Hugh. Sometimes that's a strangely accurate way of measuring things in Glasgow. I think a lot of Rangers fans will be happy Tom Rogic is leaving. That's just the way it works. But it's not just, you know, Kenny mentions numerous goals against Rangers. You've mentioned the Aberdeen day to round off the invincible treble. I think off the top of my head, and I won't be able to recall them the way Chris and the other Celtic fans can, did he not score a screamer at Rugby Park to really get Ronnie Dial out of trouble and almost, you know, push Celtic on to winning that league? Just when it looked like Brendan Rodgers might suffer a first defeat, were they not a couple down at Fir Park? And he was the one that rounded off the comeback when they won, was it 4-3 in the end? His highlights reel will be unbelievable. As Kenny says, that no one here is pretending that he played 90 minutes every week and was wonderful for all of them. But the moments he's produced, the trophies that he's won, is that going to be tough to replace?
Well, I get the impression that Ange Postecoglou's got things all worked out in his mind. He knows he's got the money in the bank now from the Champions League group stages. And I think if he is allowing Tommy, as he calls him, to go back to Australia, he knows he's going to be bringing in players that are for tomorrow. I think also there's a human dimension to this. Tom Rogic is Australian. He's lived here for 9 years. If he now feels that it's time to go home, then who can begrudge the man his chance to go home? He wants to be back in Australia because Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan are back for the final ever episode of Neighbours, and he wants to be there.
Maybe the weather this year has just tipped him over the edge, Kenny. It's been so bad. I mean, it's mid-May and it's freezing, but
listen, the only thing I'd say on that, like, we're talking as if Tom Rogic is 35, 36. He's 29.
Yeah, it's probably a different football challenge he's looking for rather than going home, isn't it?
I would hope so, because I still think as a footballer he would have too much to give to go. And again, that's nothing against the A-League that I've worked in, but I think he's a top player, you know. So he could, there's no doubt he could play down in England. He could go to a different league abroad and still be playing at the top level. So it'll be interesting.
Interesting to see where he goes.
Chris,
talking about, you know, what comes next, although they've played together and they've supplemented each other, is there maybe a case to say Matt O'Reilly was brought in to be Tom Rogic's replacement in the long term?
Well, without a doubt. And I think, as the guys mentioned, you know, you can't question Tom Rogic's technical ability. The guy's an absolute worldie, you know, in terms of how he can get past players, how he can drift by guys and they've not even seen him. You know, it's incredible. And some of the moments that he's given the fans all the years have just been sensational. You know, you can't credit the guy highly enough. You know, personal opinion would be that I think O'Reilly receives the ball better, turns a bit quicker, maybe doesn't get past the man the way Tom Rogic does, but I think he finds the passes as well, something that's maybe that Tom Rogic maybe doesn't do as well as O'Reilly. But I think in the long term, you know, O'Reilly's only been in the door since January, and what he's done in that time, I think he's got a huge future at Celtic. So I think we have got a ready-made replacement. But at the same time, I don't think Ange can afford to go into Europe next year with one player that can do the running, the defending and attacking and scoring goals away, as I say, the way Callum McGregor does. I think we need another couple of players in that mould to avoid any kind of doings in the Champions League, if I'm being honest. Tom's a luxury player where, you know, he can get up the park. He's so technical, he can produce magical moments. But I don't think, like, for example, I think the Scottish Cup semi-final, he looked as though he was towing a caravan for some reason. So there's just certain games like that where he doesn't quite, you know, have the energy levels for some reason. So I think younger, fitter, players will come in and it'll free up a wage at the end of the day to go and get somebody on decent money, you know.
Thank you very much. It was nice to speak to you, Chris.
I think at the end of the day, he gets a respectful farewell tomorrow, as Nir Beaton does too. He's been outrageous value for money, Tom Rogic. And, you know, to be 9 years at Celtic, foreign players coming in here, that's a real long shift. You know, Henrik Larsson did 7 years, and Celtic were more than grateful for that. So he's given Celtic everything for 9 years. Tomorrow he gets the hero's farewell.
Let's bring in James and Burmullock and get his take on it. James?
Hi there, how you doing, panel?
Not bad, how are you?
Aye, not too bad, not too bad. I'm quite gutted about Tom Rogic leaving, to be honest with you, because I think they've still got a year left on their contract as well, so is Celtic just releasing them, or are they getting...
No, his contract was up.
Another thing, a year left.
Aye, still got a year left.
Yeah, a year left, so that's the thing. It sounds like they've just been...
They're just getting released, or what's the story there, you know?
I think that's certainly the case with Rogic. It looks like there was a year left, and so, well, listening to Ange Postecoglou talking about best for everyone, is it just one of those where you just all get round the table?
That's what it sounds like, you know. I mean, that's quite rare to actually hear someone with a contract who is now leaving without someone actually buying them, or without some kind of agreement being in place with a club, or at least a payoff. This seems to be a real mutual agreement that Tom maybe feels, yep, maybe it's time I go and move on to do something else. Again, he's approaching 30. We're using 29 as a positive, but when he gets to 30, he might not still get the opportunities that he might get now, and the club seem happy for him to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is because O'Reilly's through the door. But again, if they'd want, it's fair play to Celtic, because if they'd wanted to maybe get a little bit of money for Tom Rogic and a transfer fee, I'm sure there'd be a few people who'd pay a few quid for him.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year deal until next year.
Right. They had the offer of money from Qatar. It almost happened. But I think you really and truly, in the immediate aftermath of a title win, and Ange Postecoglou has clearly given his blessing to what's taking place, because Ange Postecoglou knows what the public don't know, and that's who is coming in to replace the likes of Beaton and Rogic. I think you have to say the man has given you unbelievable value for money. Say goodbye.
Wish him on his way.
Yeah.
James, how do you look back on his contribution? And I feel like Nir Beaton's been left out here a little bit, but obviously Tom Rogic has been the match winner on so many occasions. How do you look back on his contribution?
I'll look back fond on the two of their contributions. I think the two of them have been great servants to the club. You can't deny that. They've been here for about 9-10 years, the two of them. You know what I mean? They've spent most of their careers here. So I don't know. I think Celtic have got a bad track record of doing that. They let that in sham go as well. You know what I mean? It's not as if we're a big superpower. We've not got millions upon millions just to waste. There's value left in these players. I think they should be getting sold on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, what do you make of the point about, you know, maybe O'Reilly is the sort of successor in one regard, and then you just sign other midfielders, you know, different types to supplement that. And I also wondered about, because you'll know this more than any of us, that the challenge that Celtic and Rangers face week in, week out is 10 men behind the ball and making things really difficult for you. Is that where people like Tom Rogic come into their own? Is that the bit that's hard to replace?
I absolutely agree with James. There is a value, absolute value. If it's not a monetary value in regards to getting like selling them on, it's what he actually brings to the team. You know, it does absolutely stink the fact that they've sat down, the discussion, both parties feel it might be the right, and by the way, rightly or wrongly, in a fan's eye, it doesn't matter. Ange and Tom Rogic have had a conversation, and Beaton, and they've decided now is the time. I think Tom Rogic, like I said, at 29 years old, he's got 250 games for Celtic. He's got some massive goals, big games, big moments that he's contributed to over these nine and a half years. I'm surprised, to be honest with you, they're just letting him go on his merry way, you know. But like you say, in the aftermath and all the league title and all the euphoria that brings, and how decorated both players have been at the football club, maybe it's been it just seems like it's been a real mutual decision. They're coming together between club and player, and they think, yeah, now's the time. And I think Ange has to give it his blessing, though. That's the thing. He must think, right, okay, no problem. We will either have the ready-made replacement in Matt O'Reilly, or we are going to be looking at this and this that are going to come in and be able to do what you do, but maybe give us a little bit more.
I think you have to recognise the service that they have given, and they've reached a period in their lives and in their professional careers where, are you really going to have Celtic hold them to ransom.
It's very rare though, Hugh. That's the thing. It's very, very rare that this kind of scenario occurs at football clubs.
Well, it's the big farewell tomorrow, and you could see it, James, in Barmullock or anyone else. There's a pair of tickets up for grabs for Trophy Day and the farewell tomorrow, and it all pays into a good cause as well. It's an aid of Cash for Kids. All you need to do is text donate £5 to Cash for Kids and you could win the tickets. So it seems like a bit of a win-win situation for Celtic fans or anyone else who wants to go. You can text Celtic right now to 84901. That's text Celtic to 84901. Lines open until 8pm tonight. Winner drawn at 9. Text cost a standard message plus your optional £5 charity donation. And the T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Keep your calls coming.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here at 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to get in touch, and we would certainly like it too, you can tweet at Clyde SSB. Third Frame is on there, says Niamh Beaton and Tom Rogic need to cram as much football in their remaining years as possible. They're unlikely to feature that much in the Ange era. Both have been great servants, deserve a great send off. 34 winners medals between them. That's quite a haul, yeah. Hugh Keevans, you would have to say.
Yeah, I think that's Third Frame has delivered a sensible summary of events, and I'm quite sure that the fans will rise literally to both of them tomorrow.
Well, I guess it's all part of that bigger picture of planning and preparation for next season. Ange Postecoglou says qualifying for the group stages gives them certainty and clarity this summer. He says it boosts them when it comes to pre-season planning, rest and recruitment.
Yeah, there was plenty of motivations to win the title this year, not least that didn't win it last year, but knowing potentially that extra carrot was there was a massive motivator, because I just felt that it was a great way to sort of, you know, accelerate our growth as a football club by being involved at that level and getting exposed at that level, our players, our team, our football club. That's the level we want to be at every year. But, you know, if having to qualify, particularly, you know, we all know the qualification process is not straightforward. It affects your pre-season. It affects the time off the players have. There's all these ramifications. It affects your recruiting because you just don't know, are you recruiting for Champions League or are you not? So all these kind of things now we can work with a lot more certainty in this off-season to give the players a break, have a really good pre-season, also identify the players we want, knowing we're going to be playing in Champions League. And beside all that, man, it's going to be exciting. You know, Celtic Park, Champions League, bloody brilliant.
Is that a fair assessment, Kenny? You know, everyone talks about the Champions League and the money, and it's great. And that's always held up as the most important thing. But actually for a manager, in terms of once you even get beyond the carrot, the incentive of signing players, just being able to know for sure what you're doing, when you're doing it, when you can go away, what level you're going to be playing at, not hanging all on that brutal run of qualifiers. That must be a nice bit of certainty.
It'll be massive for him, you know, and that's the word, it's clarity. It's knowing where you're at, when your first games are, when you're going to be playing. I actually went through it in 2017. I hate to bring that up, that first European game against Progress, because it still haunts my nightmares, you know. But it's you've got a pre-season plan in place and you think, right, okay, even if you get past that, because you should get past that, and then you get a tough one, it's still four games. But we were out and it's start of July. So you've got another 4 weeks before, three, 4 weeks before the first game. So now you're scrambling about trying to arrange pre-season friendlies and things. So that's what Andrew's talking about in regards to that. It also gives the recruitment side a real boost. You can now say, right, you want to come? Mm-hmm. Right, this is it. We're playing Champions League. You'll get a chance to showcase your talents on that platform.
Rather than, oh, don't worry, look, we'll probably make it through the four qualifying rounds.
Yeah, and we'll get there. We're on the Champions route, so we're fine. We're on the Champions route. We'll get there. Well, it's no easy. It's what our Scottish clubs have found over the last few years. So
the country's profile has been lifted this season by Celtic and Rangers. I just think that players are looking at Scotland now and thinking, I'd like a bit of that at Celtic or Rangers.
01419511025. That's what Stephen in Barhead has dialed. What's your take on this big transfer news today, Stephen?
Hi, Gordon, Hugh and Kenny. How's things?
Good, thank you. Good. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good,
it's the first time I've phoned in many, many years. So
Tom Rogic leaving's broken your heart so much that you've decided to get back in touch. Is that what it is?
No. I used to run my own podcast, and Hugh was the first person I ever interviewed for that podcast. And I think it's my fault. He's on Twitter, to be honest.
Oh, dear.
Because the last question I asked him during our 40-minute interview was, would you ever join social media.
You're to blame.
And then about a week later, he was on Twitter throwing grenades, and he's been there ever since.
Yeah, he has a complex relationship with Twitter, Steve. I can always tell when he's on the red wine late at night, and the tweets start coming. Is that fair? Am I being harsh?
I have nothing to say on that matter.
Is that an unfair accusation?
No,
will your lawyer be in touch?
Not at all. You're perfectly correct. But I wish I could name the guilty man, Stephen, but I won't. It was a guilty man who worked in here at that time and now works for Celtic, and he insisted I go on. So that's how it happened.
There we go. Stephen obviously planted the seed, though. That's the real truth of it. What do you make of this then, Stephen? Tom Rogic, I don't know, surprised, disappointed? How does it work?
I'm not surprised in a way. I think when Ange came in last year, I think he looked at the squad and it was so threadbare. And he probably asked the likes of Niamh Beaton and Rogic to, you know, stick around for another year because he probably needed a bit of experience and a bit of know-how about the club just to try and rebuild. And I think the guys have given everything in the last year, you know, when fit. And I think it's quite apt that they're leaving, you know, as champions, and they get to leave on a good note because last season was pretty much a disaster. So I'm not surprised, but you know, I wish the guys all the best and wherever they end up and wherever they go, because they've given everything to Celtic. And I think Tom Rogic gave me probably one of my top five moments of being a Celtic fan over the last 30 years. You know, just that day at Hampden for the Invincible Treble was just, you know, mind blown, and it's right up there with my greatest moments anyway.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people will be able to list off those moments, Hugh, because those are the things that stick with you as a fan. Even some of the individual goals that maybe didn't directly contribute, but when you're doing them in those moments, then it's easy to see why Stephen and others will remember it fondly.
Yeah, that's why I think everyone should let him go. Appreciate that the club are doing the honourable thing by him and by Niamh Beaton. Don't always think in narrow-minded terms that, oh, because I wrung a few quid out of them. You know, I think Celtic have done the right thing, and I really do believe Ange Postecoglou is 100% behind the decision to let Tom Rogic go. Otherwise, he would have dug his heels in. But he got out of Tom Rogic the finale to his Celtic career that was all that anyone could have asked for.
Kenny, we've already speculated about events management on tonight's show, so we might as well just speculate on actual football matters. You know, Stephen talking about this always being Tom Rogic's last season, and the previous caller was saying, no, I don't understand, why would you let him go for nothing if you could squeeze a small transfer fee? And that is a sensible answer as to why. There was talk of Tom Rogic leaving previously. Maybe he wanted a new challenge. Maybe there are big money offers elsewhere. And the compromise from Celtic and Ange Postecoglou was, look, give us everything you've got this season. Let's make it work. Let's go out on a high. And then we'll let you leave and we'll let you go. And the club that takes you won't need to pay a transfer fee. So even more will go in your pocket and all that sort of stuff.
Listen, it seems to make sense. You could be adding two and two together and coming up five, no problem. But no, it seems to make sense, because like I say, I've tried to wrap my brain of where these types of scenarios have happened through the course of my career, or seeing a similar situation develop, and I can't, you know. So it does look like there was maybe one Australian to the other. Can you give me a bit of help this year? That the squad's not in a good place. We need to rebuild. We need you to stay. You know, can you give me another year and we'll look at the end of the season and letting you go for nothing, even though you've got a year left? It does look like those types of conversations will have been there. And, you know, and the bottom line is, he's been a wonderful servant, almost 10 years at the football club. Had massive moments that every Celtic fan that's been on I've talked about, whether it be the cup final, whether it be goals against Rangers, whether it be goals against Kilmarnock or Motherwell, that have been huge moments, and by the way, some wonderful finishes over the course of that as well. Like Gink Hugh said right at the start of the show, he seemed to caress the ball and he picked a spot and he bent it in there. There was not a lot of these.
You knew it was coming and you couldn't really do much about it.
You know, you can't do anything about it, you know. So he's a wonderful player. All kinds of honours at the football club, league titles and cups. So it's, he'll be missed, you know, in the Scottish game. There's no doubt about that. But I think everybody would wish him all the very best in whatever he chooses to do next.
Stephen, I'm very late for Beat the Pundit, but just promise me you won't leave it so long before getting in touch next time.
No, I'll be in touch next season, I would say.
Good man. That was Stephen in Barrhead. Takes us up to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. One of your last chances to play this season. We've only got two sign balls left. We're down to seven shows. Seven shows left, only two sign balls. Don't mess it up, Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller. If you want to play tonight, now's the time to call 01419511025. And don't forget, just for getting through tonight, like we've done all week, you get some tickets for the Summer Night Race Meeting at Ayr Racecourse, 17th and 18th of June. You can, of course, get them online, but you'd rather win them this way. Embarrass Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller and get a sign ball. It's a triple whammy. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, we're going to get you the inside track on Frankfurt very soon, so make sure you don't miss that. And we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's do this then for the last time this week. For one of the last games of the season, it is Beat the Pundit time. We'll bring in Nathan in Motherwell. How's it going, Nathan?
What's happening? How's it going, guys?
You're a winner already. That's what's happening, Nathan. You are going to the Summer Night Race Meeting at Ayr Racecourse, or at least you can give the tickets to someone and be popular. How does that sound?
I think I'll give him my dad for his birthday.
I hope he's not listening. Not even paid for them. His dad's getting them for his birthday, Hugh.
Oh, well,
that's
good.
That's wise. I think that's clever.
A dutiful son.
It's the type of thing Gordon DL would do, isn't it? Really? Get something for free and gift it to someone else.
No.
As a just would keep it himself.
Correct.
He's a Celtic fan, so I'll make up for when we win next week.
Oh, there we are. So Nathan's going to turn up on Thursday morning if Rangers win. Rangers strip on. Smile from ear to ear and say, "Don't worry, Dad. There you are, tickets to the race." I like it. He's got it all. He's got it all figured out. Anyway, we'll toss the coin, Nathan, and see who you are up against. It will be heads for Hugh Keevans, tails for Kenny Miller. It was heads last night, and it's tails tonight. Kenny up against Nathan in Motherwell. So let's make sure Kenny can't hear what's going on. Like that, the magic button works. Nathan, no, you can still hear me, Kenny. No, good. He's giving me the right sign. See, producer Callum's on hand, Hugh, to smooth these. I was going to ask you to come round here, Hugh, and press the right buttons, but I thought the station would get put off here. Right, 30 seconds, Nathan. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's go. Who played more league games for Celtic, Tom Rogic or Nir Beaton?
Rogic.
What squad number does Steve Davis currently wear for Rangers?
15.
How many spells did Keith Lasley have with Motherwell as a player?
Two.
What nationality is Hibs striker Elias Melkerson?
Iceland.
Name any three of the men who permanently managed our broth immediately before Dick Campbell. Name the only manager Ross County have had who isn't Scottish.
Pass.
I think he's done it again. I think producer Callum is just in a stinker of a mood at the moment and he's making these questions really difficult. Kenny, can you hear us?
Yep.
Right, I think they're tough again tonight. I don't know what's up with this guy. Over my shoulder, he's obviously getting fed up at the end of the season. Are you ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Who played more league games for Celtic, Tom Rogic or Nir Beaton?
Rogic.
What squad number does Steve Davis currently wear for Rangers?
10.
How many spells did Keith Lasley have as a player for Motherwell?
2.
What nationality is Hibs striker Elias Melkerson?
Norwegian.
Name any of the three men who permanently managed our broth immediately before Dick Campbell.
Pass.
Name the only manager Ross County have had who isn't Scottish.
Pass.
Who is the current Livingston club captain?
Pittman.
Okay, Nathan, they were tough, weren't they?
They were really tough. I don't know anything about Keith Lasley, so just take a guess there.
Well, it was the only question you got right, I think, so I wouldn't worry about that. Let's find out. I'm only kidding. Or am I, in fact, as I look through the page? Let's find out. Who played more league games for Celtic, Tom Rogic or Nir Beaton? You both went Rogic. You were both wrong.
Oh.
Nir Beaton has played 11 more league games than Tom Rogic throughout his time. So there we go, 0-0 after one question. Steve Davis wears 10 at the moment, so Kenny goes one in front. You are bang on, Nathan. You do know things about Keith Lasley. It's two spells as a Motherwell player in between a period at Plymouth. So Kenny got that unfortunately as well. So it's 2-1 to him. Elias Melkerson, I thought this was a good educated guess, Nathan. You said Icelandic. He's Norwegian. Kenny goes 3-1 in front. the Arbroath managers before Dick Campbell. That's really tough, Nathan. For a non-Arbroath fan, Paul Sheeran, Alan Moore, Todd Lumsden. So it's still 3-1 to Kenny. And again, as if not only is he giving you tough questions, the 50-50's only got 11 games in it, and then he's almost thrown a bit of a trick question in here. The only Ross County manager who isn't Scottish.
None.
I mean, he is Scottish, but he didn't represent Scotland, so that usually rules him out of quiz questions. Owen Coyle.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. And
that is a tricky one, yeah.
Look, he's just so proud of himself. What a smug he is through there. And Nicky Devlin is the Livy club captain.
It, yep.
But he did enough. A 3-1 for Miller. And Nathan, you're stuck with just the racing tickets, which is a good price. So well done to you.
Raging.
Your dad won't be when he gets Nathan. The tickets. Well done, Nathan.
Thank you.
Good man. That was Nathan in Motherwell. It's 01419511025 to join in. A win's a win.
We're all on.
Oh, did you hear the big news?
Black Arthur.
The league table came out last night for Beat the Pundit. I've told you about this guy before.
Yeah, you have, right.
But I don't think he's been in touch.
Let's cut to the chase. Gordon Dale's brought him.
Sage with the happiest look on his face.
Very, very confident for a man who's second bottom, I must say. Honestly. DL bottom with a 50% win rate. Keevan second bottom with a 58% win rate. Look, he's punching the air. What sort of joy is that? Miller, you're in just in the European places, fourth behind Halliday and Hanaher. Just they'd never get anything wrong. Simon Donnelly's just edged you, and then you're tucked in.
Well, I'm surprised. I only lost two. I'm lucky. I'm winning about 10
three.
In a row.
1-12, lost 3.
Is that right?
So that's decent. That is decent. But you know, it's a high standard at the
sure
top.
Is.
113 now, obviously. So there we go. That might. My arithmetic's not good enough. I don't know if that lifts you above Simon Donnelly, but you'll be close.
We'll get into the Champions League places soon.
Yeah, there we go. So Simon Donnelly was 85%, you were 80%, so that might be enough to lift you up there.
That is, by the way, it is, because I've not had 20, so 20 would be 5%, so I must be 86%. There we go, bang, right in the third.
That's a man who's negotiated a few contracts in his time,
no,
Hugh.
You can just sense it there.
What was that, sorry, sign-on fee, goal bonus percentage? Yeah, he's got it all. He's got it all figured out. We're going to hopefully get the Rangers fans the real inside track on Eintracht Frankfurt very soon. And in fact we can. Derek Ray very kindly joins us on the line. A familiar voice for Scottish football fans. And I must say, Derek, to start on a light hearted note, you're going to be sick of us, because Rangers have drawn every Rangers team possible, which means we keep pestering you to come on this show.
No, I think the truth of the matter is Rangers fans are sick of me, because they keep hearing me come on here and say nice things about German teams, and they think that I'm actually supporting these German teams, but as we know, you have me on because hopefully I can talk knowledgeably about these German teams.
Exactly. No, we do, Lynn. We really appreciate you coming on again, because it's been the story of the run, and this time it's Eintracht Frankfurt. So what should Rangers fans expect? How do they compare to the other three teams that Rangers have saw off to get here?
Well, I think on the one hand, it's fair to say they're not as talented as Dortmund and Leipzig, but that doesn't mean that they're not a good team. And, you know, I think the assessment before Dortmund and before Leipzig from a Rangers angle would have been that Rangers don't have players as talented as those two teams, but they found a way to win. And Frankfurt have done that throughout this competition. I mean, they've been terrific. The story that they wrote in Barcelona, for me, one of the stories of the season in European football, when their fans essentially took over the stadium, 30,000 of them in the city, and many of them seemed to manage to get tickets. They went and beat West Ham, a Premier League team with far greater riches and resources than Eintracht Frankfurt. And so I actually see this as two teams who mirror each other a little bit. So it's going to be a different challenge for Rangers, whereas against Dortmund and Leipzig, they certainly in the first legs didn't have a tremendous amount of the ball and didn't expect to have much of the ball. But they were ruthless in terms of taking their chances and capitalising on mistakes, particularly by Dortmund, and then waiting for the right moment at Ibrox in the second leg after keeping the damage down in the first leg against Leipzig. So I think this will be different. I think Eintracht are, you know, less technical, more rugged. They've got a couple of very good individuals. And a bit like Rangers in Europe this season, they play as a team, and that's their great strength.
Now, the Bundesliga table tells you they are not, officially, not even one of Germany's top teams this season, not even close, 12th at the moment. So what is it about European football that's worked so successfully this season?
Well, I think you have to compare and contrast. And I think you have to say that in comparison with Rangers, Eintracht have a more difficult programme throughout the season. So
you know, they, to a sense, in a sense, have to put their eggs in one basket or the other. And it's been Europe. And, you know, there's been a drop-off on the back of a lot of their European performances. And I think, you know, if we're talking fairly, and I realise I'm a Bundesliga commentator, but I'm a Scot and I'm a former commentator on Scottish football, you know, the Bundesliga is a high standard of football. So teams who are between, say, 8th and 13th in the Bundesliga, they're pretty comparable with Celtic and Rangers. You know, I think that is a reasonable assessment to make. So, you know, they have difficult games week in, week out. If you take away Bayern, and everybody wants to sort of beat you over the head with the fact that Bayern have won 10 titles in a row, but if you take Bayern away, the Bundesliga is one of the least predictable leagues in Europe. You genuinely don't know what's going to happen from week to week. And Frankfurt don't have the biggest squad. It's a decent squad, but once they lose two or three players and once they have the impact of a Thursday night game and then a Sunday game, then something does drop off. What I would say is, having watched them a lot this season in their home games, and I realise this is a game at a neutral venue but with a lot of their fans there, in their home games, they've had real trouble against teams who sit deep and stay compact and, if you like, clot the centre, almost give them the flanks a little bit, but stay really compact in the centre. Eintracht haven't been the best side in the Bundesliga in terms of breaking that sort of team down.
I mean, throughout this run against the German teams, there was no Erling Haaland, which I'm sure Rangers were delighted about. Christopher Nkunku didn't have his, well, you know, he scored a fantastic goal, of course, but over the two legs, couldn't do enough to knock Rangers out. Who would be the main men that the Rangers have to be wary of on this occasion?
Well, I'll give you two, and I'll give you one above all others, and that would be Filip Kostic on the left. Now, you never quite know what you're going to get from Kostic, but when he's on, he's really on. And I think if you're going to talk about a direct duel in the game, you know, one versus one, I think you probably are going to be talking about Filip Kostic against James Tavernier. You know, I think that is the high-profile clash, and they'll be seeing a lot of each other. Kostic is a bit of an old-fashioned throwback. You know, he's left-footed. I don't mind saying that for me, he's in the top three deliverers of a ball in the Bundesliga. And he can be devastating when he's really on and defenders have no answer to him. Now, he does have defensive responsibilities as well, because Eintracht play with a back three. And so he's got to get up and down the pitch. And others sometimes have got to cover for him. But he is one who Rangers fans will very quickly, if they're not already familiar with him, will very quickly be familiar with between now and the final. The other one I would give a shout out to is a player who I think is very clever. He's a little bit of a late developer. Daichi Kamada, a Japanese player, and he plays in this sort of halfway house position off the front and to the right a lot of the time. And if people are familiar with Thomas Müller, he has that same knack that Müller has of timing his runs and not being picked up. And it just seems to be an innate knack that he has to be able to do that. And so Rangers will have done their homework on him. But really, a bit like Rangers, that they are mostly about the collective and the team ethic, and they're very strong on that. You know, that they're robust, they fight for each other. And I do think there are similarities between Eintracht and Rangers on that front.
Derek, an old pal here, Hugh Keevans, how are you?
Mr. Keevans, how are we? Great to hear your voice.
And you, Derek. Is there an enigmatic quality about Eintracht Frankfurt at home in the Bundesliga? 4 wins out of 17, but undefeated in the Europa League. They seem to be two teams in one.
Yeah, I think it's fair comment. As I was saying there earlier, in the home games, especially on the back of European performances, that they've sometimes struggled to break down teams. And so I wonder if that's something that Rangers actually might be, you know, having at the back of their minds. You don't necessarily want to have a ton of the ball, a lot of the ball against a team like Eintracht. You might want to be quite reactive and let them come at you at times. But I think a lot of it has come down to just the fact that they don't adequately replace players easily within the squad. It's a good squad, but it's not a great squad. And this is actually the problem that a lot of Bundesliga sides have at the moment. Even Bayern, they don't have the biggest, deepest squad in the entire Bundesliga. Now, Leipzig, who Rangers beat in the last round, they probably had the most rounded squad, but they couldn't come up with the answers. I think enigmatic is a good word, but they reserve their best performances for Europe. And there's something about that, you know, Hugh, because They speak a lot in Frankfurt about the fact that they believe they are, maybe not single-handedly responsible, but part of the reason why the Europa League is no longer on its knees. Because I remember a few years ago, they brought 13,000 to a routine game in Bordeaux in the group stage. You'll remember 2019, they got to the semis and were maybe unlucky not to go to the final when nobody saw it coming. And this season, you know, their fans have been this really positive story for the most part. In travelling in large numbers and making a right old racket. So I think there's been that sort of euphoria that's carried them through. And, you know, they just missed out on the Champions League last season. They've got Oliver Glasner, a new coach in this campaign, who took a little bit of time to get his message across. Then it got much better towards the lead up to Christmas. It's been, as you said, hot and cold, enigmatic in the new year. But in Europe, they are transformed. And, you know, Rangers have been the same, haven't they?
Yeah, Derek, you mentioned the fans, and I wonder how that side of things is being viewed in Germany. We've had a lot of discussion about the number of Rangers fans going, the fact that there's only 9,000 tickets, fan zones, it's not being beamed back to Ibrox. I understand that is happening in Frankfurt. How's that side of things looking?
Yeah, I think it's a lot better on that front. And in Frankfurt, there will be a public viewing arrangement, in fact, inside their own stadium. So, and that's quite normal for big events in Germany. So obviously they're encouraging people to do that if they want to live it up close and personal without being in Spain. That might be the way to do it. But still, they're expecting 40, 50,000 to travel. And I was just seeing earlier, there are going to be two separate zones in the city set up for Frankfurt and Rangers fans, respectively. Interestingly, the talk in the German media has been friendly talk, really. There's not a sense of or feeling of animosity with regard to Rangers. And I remember with West Ham in the last round, that was slightly different. There was an edge to that semi-final tie, even before a ball was kicked. And I do think this comes down to the difference in perception between England and Scotland. And if you read any newspaper article, as I've been doing the last few days for my colleagues here in Germany, they always refer to Scottish fans, and it's almost done with a sort of a, you know, friendly, jovial Scottish fans. Now, we have to hope that's the case for everybody. We have to hope that every fan who goes there is there to have a party. We also know that, you know, people are going to enjoy themselves and, you know, in the sunshine, sometimes it can be a bad mix. But, you know, I think there's an overwhelming sense that these are two clubs with shared history going back to 1960 in the European Cup. And 1961, 104,000 people attended a friendly at Hampden between Eintracht and Rangers. And this was to inaugurate the floodlight system at Hampden. 1961. Somebody sent me the match programme from that the other day, which I think is quite remarkable that somebody kept that. And so there's a kind of a feeling of, you know, these are kindred spirits, you know, two clubs who have made their name in Europe before, have fallen on, not going to say, you know, completely hard times, but you could certainly say that. And, you know, we all know about what happened to Rangers. And you can also say that Frankfurt had a spell where they were going up and down the top, from the top division into the second division. So I think they're seeing this, I think it would be fair to say, they're seeing this as two teams with a lot in common.
Thank you very much, Derek. It was a pleasure, and you can rest up in the summer and just hope that no Scottish teams play German teams next season and we won't pester you again. Thanks, as always.
Thanks, John.
Good man. Derek Ray there giving you everything you need to know. I love that in-depth stuff about Eintracht Frankfurt. It's now a good time to get your calls in, and we could be speaking to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. We've got some Rangers fans lined up on the phones as well. So let me very quickly give you this teaser tonight. Ooh. With the departures of Rogic and Beaton, Callum McGregor and James Forrest are now the only two players still at Celtic from the Invincibles that clinched the treble against Aberdeen, that Scottish Cup day that we spoke about. Can you name the eight non-Scots who were in the squad that day? So there's, with no Rogic and Beaton anymore, McGregor and Forrest are the only two players still at Celtic from that day, the Invincible treble. I'll spare you some of the Scots. So can you name the eight non-Scots from the squad that day?
Paddy Roberts.
I'm wondering why he's not on this list. I think he probably should be. That's a promising start. Any more, Kenny?
Dembele?
Yes. Any more?
Jam?
Nope.
Mikael Lustig?
Yes. All right, we'll leave it there and we'll get the rest. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to submit a question. Let's bring in Tommy, who's on the line this evening. What's your point, Tommy?
My point is to all these Rangers fans that's on moaning that they can't get into Ibrox. Mm-hmm. Stop your moaning. Sit in the house with your family or friends or go to the pub with your mates and watch a game. Biggest game we've had in probably the club's history. And they're on moaning they can't get into Ibrox. Probably people don't even go to Ibrox. They're on moaning.
I don't know if we need to make those assumptions. It might be, it might not be.
Tommy's ruling out the fact that it's a free country. And if they want to ask for Ibrox to be open, they're entitled to ask.
He's then entitled to tell them that they're mourning. So I don't necessarily mind about, you know, making the point. But you know, Tommy, is there not any sort of legitimate reason why a Rangers fan might hope that there was some event that they could go and watch it in a big communal setting and something that befits the occasion? Is it really controversial to want that to happen?
I understand that, but they've been told no, we're not opening Ibrox, and then they thought that they could not have it in a big park. But what you've got to remember, we're not the only club in Glasgow. Now, if 20,000, 30,000 descended in Glasgow Green, you're most likely to get maybe 10,000. Maybe Celtic fans want to come along and cause a bit of havoc. I'm not saying Celtic fans would do that, but it could happen, you know what I mean? The rival between the two. So you better just keep them all in their own houses and let them celebrate with their family and friends, which I'll be doing.
Now, you see, Tommy, if a journalist had said what you've just said, there'd be pandemonium. So you cannot presuppose that there'll be trouble created by another club's fan. So I
to be fair, I think Tommy, you know, wasn't necessarily accusing Celtic fans. Is it not directly? But then did you miss the bit where he said, "I'm not saying Celtic fans would do that"? Is there not a general safety issue that might need to be ironed out with the council or the police?
Yeah, I fully understand that, because when the game is over, what do you do with 20 or 30,000 people who are then a mile away from the city centre? So it is a delicate situation, but it is a European final. Fans are entitled to ask why the club are not opening Ibrox. They're entitled, as Kenny Miller has pointed out, when there were 50,000 there a few years ago to see Rangers play Peterhead in the bottom tier of Scottish football. They're just asking the question, why is this not possible at Ibrox?
Yeah, I mean, Tommy, enjoy it in the house, that's fine, but I'm sure there are others who, you know, still feel that more could be done. Even if, I don't think anyone's pretending it would be easy or that there aren't logistical issues. It's just about, you know, can we find a way of overcoming them in this day and age? Brian is also a Rangers fan. Bishop Briggs, are you a moaner, Brian?
Hiya guys, thanks for taking my call. You couldn't have timed this call any better, because I think the last caller there was talking absolute nonsense. I mean, I don't know what he's on about, saying we should all just stop moaning, sit in the house. I've been going to Ibrox since I can remember, since I was a wee guy, and me and my girlfriend have been to every game this season, just about anyway, and we can't make it to Seville due to work commitments, and loads of people are in the same situation. I understand that, it's fine, but for him to come on and say something like that, I think it's outrageous. Frankly, I'm disgusted the fact that it's not getting shown at Ibrox. I was there for the 2008 final. Couldn't make it down to Manchester. I was only 13 at the time, but I went and watched the Ibrox, and for what I can remember, it was a great time. And we thought it was great, just all being together. And I'm disgusted at Stuart Robertson. I think it's a shambles. And I saw that every other team in a European competition is beaming it back to their fans and showing it at their stadiums. I just don't understand how Rangers couldn't have done the same.
What do you make of the official reasoning given then about, you know, Rangers staff essentially need to be in Seville and therefore they can't put that on at home?
Shocking. Absolutely shocking. I don't get it. Why can they no hire like an events company or something like that, or even create a fan zone, Glasgow Green, anywhere? Just, it's something. I mean, this is they should have prepared for this long ago when they knew that we could have potentially made it to the final. This should all have been sorted. And then he's talking about, oh, just go to the pub with your mates and watch it. You can't get in. I'm working till 2 p.m. on Wednesday, and by the time I finish work, come home, do what I need to do, everywhere will be full. I saw that loads of places are on a first come first served basis. So what chance have you got if they're opening at like 11 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, actually feel like we can merge these 2 points together, right? So Tommy's saying fans are moaning, and Brian's putting up a good case, because you can't say that, oh, these are fans that don't go to Ibrox anyway. Brian does. Whether Rangers are right or not, or whatever, it is a shame that this is what we're talking about. You know, five days away from a Europa League final. You know, it's a shame that that's on fans' minds. Whether it's right or wrong to be in the fans' minds, it is, clearly. And that is disappointing.
It is. And, you know, it's like, sometimes it's the way you say something. Like Tommy comes on and was absolutely blunt as you like about making the point about stop moaning. I absolutely agree and, sorry, understand that, the fact that there's a huge game coming up. The fact is, though, there's 9,000 officially 9,000 tickets available for Rangers fans that could have sold it 10 times over. All I think fans are looking for is, right, okay, and it's not about sitting in the house or going to the pub. It's about actually, hopefully, celebrating it together as a group of people at Ibrox. And, you know, Glasgow Green, like I think the previous caller, there may be issues or certain security issues that could arise from doing it somewhere like that. But in Ibrox, you said it, self-contained, 40,000, 30,000, 25,000, whatever it is, it has been done before. The club could have done more. You know, I understand the situations now. If it can't be done, like I said, I think we have to take it that it can't be based on, I think the club would do it. Because the support of the
could
fans
could also make some money out of it. I'm sure
they charge fans. Absolutely, they could. Again, I'm not even mentioning any financial gain or financial cost of doing it. I think the football club would have done it for their fans.
There is a modern day trend that we know of, Gordon. We watched the Celtic fans after Tannadice on Wednesday night. Yeah. They're outside Celtic Park midnight, 1 a.m, and good luck to them. They're there to celebrate what was a momentous achievement under Ange Postecoglou. In the modern day, that's what fans do now. They congregate. Now, if Rangers win the Europa League, it's unavoidable. Fans are going to go somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's fueled this for fans like Brian is that comparison. You know, keep talking about the other teams are doing it. And I'm sure the Rangers board might say, well, that's not a fair comparison because it's a different country with different local authorities, different police forces, whatever. Brian mentions, you know, a fan zone doesn't have to be Ibrox. We've seen the two sides, because Derek Ray was just on telling us it is going straight back to Frankfurt's stadium. So that's your Ibrox argument, if you like. Liverpool are doing it for 10,000 fans in the M&S Bank Arena, wherever that may be. People who are familiar with Liverpool would know. I'm not. For 10,000 fans. So there's your fan zone, Glasgow Green, Hydro, whatever. I know you probably can't book the Hydro at 2 weeks' notice, right? I accept that. But yeah, we're seeing other examples, and that's why fans like Brian feel the way they do.
Absolutely. It does not help Rangers that every other team that are in the European finals are doing something for the fans that can't make the trip. In one of the arguments as well that Hugh says about Celtic fans and the turning up to Celtic Park, I've won leagues at Rangers where you go for Tannadice or Easter Road and you go back to Ibrox. Ibrox is open.
Uh-huh.
Ibrox is open and there's fans inside while you go in and you celebrate the win and do your lap of honour, and there's thousands of fans there, and that's on the same day, you know. So I feel, like I said, I have to take it at face value that it is impossible for whatever reason it is, but I fully understand the frustrations of the fans, because it's a special moment. It's a massive opportunity for the football club, for these players to write their names into Rangers history if they've not already done so, and they want to celebrate. And by who knows when we'll ever see another Scottish team in a European final.
Brian Welsh, you're on the line. I'm just going to take advantage of you and ask you about the actual football, since you're here. Let's put our events management degrees to one side and talk football, because we're all expert in that. I'm sure the audience will scoff at the suggestion. Let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He says their full focus obviously is in the Europa League final, despite facing Hearts tomorrow, and he expects to rotate the team at Tynecastle.
Well, hopefully we'll win, but it's obviously we are getting closer to the final. You know, I wanted the last games we play in the league to get everyone fit and give minutes to be ready for the last week. So for Saturday will be the same, but you can expect some changes with the lineup. Yeah.
So what are we talking, Brian? Every single member of the team for Wednesday is left out tomorrow. Is that as far as it goes?
Sorry, what do you mean there, Gordon?
So tomorrow, the team is rested completely ahead of Wednesday, yeah? So no Tavernier, no Goldson, no Kent, no Alan McGregor. None of them play tomorrow. Is that the way you see it?
100%, 100%. I mean, as we all know, the league's done, and credit where credit is due. Ange Postecoglou's done a great job under Celtic, I get that. So, I mean, if there's nothing to play for over at Tynecastle tomorrow, which there isn't, full focus should be on Wednesday, because it could be a monumental night. It could be written in history Wednesday night if all goes well. I've got guys at work who I work alongside, and they've said throughout the full knockout stages, no, this is going to be one step too far, I think this is as far as we'll go. And they keep on saying it, because every time they say it, we win. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, it's not a good talking point for me to go say, will Rangers rest players tomorrow? Everyone knows they will. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has even said they will. Will it be that far though? You know, every single member left out?
I think most, yeah. But
not necessarily all.
There may be some that may feature,
like, Goldson and Tavernier, because they always do.
Well, they always do, but I'm actually thinking about maybe other guys that maybe need the minutes.
Okay.
That might be able to play themselves into that starting lineup for Thursday.
Ryan Jack's been out the last couple, hasn't he?
He's missed it. I mean, I think we've not seen Ryan since the semi final, the second leg against Leipzig at Ibrox. So I don't think it'll be him, to be honest with you. He's had a lot of football, and I think he's really important to the team. He'd definitely be really important on Wednesday night. I just think that there may be. It all depends. Is Gio set on what team he's going to play? You know, and if he is, then he can make that call. You know, if he's not, then he's got a few decisions to make. Does he use the game as minutes to maybe see and decide on these final maybe two or three positions? Or is he set in his mind, he thinks, you know what, like you said there, everything is now on Thursday night, and everything will be done to make sure that 11 that start on, sorry, Wednesday night, that 11 that start on Wednesday night are not playing, and they will be in the prime physical condition and win this Europa League.
It's literally a dead rubber, Kenny.
Yep.
Because Hearts are third, nailed on. Rangers are second,
yeah, they
nailed
might
on.
Do the same actually ahead of the cup final.
It's the worst possible dress rehearsal for a cup final, because Rangers have a European final to play on the Wednesday, and Hearts, they've got plenty of injury problems that they've dealt with for a long number of weeks now. John Souter, etc., etc. So it's come at the worst possible time. Unless you're Andy Halliday and you need to get gathering the minutes, because he's just back from injury, so it's good for him.
I got a wee rest at the end of the game the other night when Motherwell went on to win and clinch European football. We've not really heard much from him since, so I'll have a wee word at some point. Right, thank you to Brian. Enjoy next week, whatever it holds for you. That was Brian and Bishop Briggs. Really nice to hear from you. You're right, Hugh. Patrick Roberts should be on the list.
Yep.
So that's fine. We had him, no problem. With the departure of Rogic and Beaton, only McGregor and Forrest remain at Celtic from the invincible treble winners at Hampden against Aberdeen. Can you name the nine non-Scots from that day? So you've got Lustig, you've got Dembele, you've got Roberts.
Toure?
No, it doesn't appear to have been involved in the squad that day.
Boyata.
Who?
Boyata.
Dedrick Boyata was, yes.
Scott Sinclair?
Yes.
Doris de Vries?
Yes, on the bench. Well done. We'll get the rest of the answers next. Let me run this past you first.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden goals.
Right, we've been talking all week about the price of tickets to Seville, the price of flights, the price of following any team, whatever team you support. Well, imagine this. A Super Scoreboard listener is going to be at least £34,000 richer in 8 days' time just by sending one text. How good does that sound? There is no real catch here. Just over a week to go for someone to get their hands on the money. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals. And basically, we started chucking money into a pot every time Celtic or Rangers scored. We did it in January. We're looking at round about £250 or £500 a goal, and we're already at 34 grand, oh, Hugh Keevans.
Well, wonderful.
It has been incredible. And of course, they both play this weekend. Rangers, in case you hadn't noticed, they've got two big games next week as well. So that 34 grand could be a lot bigger. And if you want to win it, you're running out of time. Text GOAL to 61025, GOAL to 61025. £2 to text, plus a standard message rate over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner, text GOAL to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We've got a full time teaser to finish, we've got a weekend to preview, and we have a massive game about to kick off in Arbroath, Hugh Keevans. It's Arbroath against Inverness Cali Thistle. It is 0-0 on aggregate, so whoever wins tonight, played to a finish, then takes on St Johnstone for a spot in the Premiership, yeah, our top table next season. What a night it's going to be in Arbroath.
Looking at the television pictures, magnificent crowd. I just said to Kenny Miller, there can't be any left in the streets of Arbroath. They're all inside that ground, or the only ones who are not inside the ground are inside the famous Tutty's Nuke pub across the road. The people of Arbroath have turned out. It's a marvellous spectacle. Dick Campbell resplendent and wearing the bonnet, looking magnificent. Dodgy looks like a bag of washing, but it's going to be a great occasion.
I'm really looking forward to it, Kenny. Certainly going to go up the road and get the feet up. Gogglebox on 88 on a Friday night. That's the Friday night ritual, but this is the only show in town tonight. What an occasion.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, obviously. Arbroath, can they finish the job off that they've looked so likely that we're going to achieve over the course of the season? Got three games before achieving, or can Inverness get back to the top flight? You know, and Dodgy's done a good job up there to get them in the playoffs initially, and he'll want to finish that off as well, knowing him. So, yeah, brilliant occasion. Two teams that will be wanting it desperately.
A beautiful summer's night in Arbroath, by the looks of it.
It did look a bit windy. I've seen three Dodgy's hair, or what's
the,
left.
That's the standard. Gayfield, certainly. Right, let's look at this teaser before we go any further. It's got a wee story attached to it, this one. I keep reading it every time. With the departures of Rogic and Beaton, McGregor and Forrest are now the only two players still at Celtic from the Invincibles that clinched the treble with a Scottish Cup final victory against Aberdeen. Can you name the nine non-Scots from the squad that day? Boyata, Lustig, Sinclair, De Vries, Dembele, Roberts.
Johnny Hayes?
No.
Niall McGinn?
He not only wasn't at Celtic, he scored for Aberdeen.
Oh, well. Oh, just the wrong year then, yep. Niall McGinn then?
No.
No?
Getting worse.
Simunovic?
Yes. Any more? You got two to get?
Two.
Oh, that's plenty. We'll get them before the end of the show. Not a problem at all. 0141 951 1025, if you would like to get in touch, pick up the phone and let us know. I mean, Hugh, I don't like saying meaningless games, dead rubbers. I guess tomorrow Ross County will, Dundee United, sorry, will feel like they can gain. I don't think many people will fancy Motherwell to go to Celtic Park and get anything on trophy day. So if Dundee United can even get a point against Ross County, that would put them above Motherwell and back into fourth, which I think gets you one qualifier less for the Conference League.
Apart from Motherwell not having the quality that Celtic possess, I think there's a chance that they'll be swept away in the tidal wave of emotion tomorrow, because Celtic have got the league. They will receive the hero's welcome as champions, and it will be the day of high emotion because of Tom Rogic and near Beaton. So I can't see Motherwell get anything. And also, Celtic are the only team in the league with an invincible record at home. They've lost no games at home at all this season, so they want to go out on that high note as well. Ross County and Dundee United brings together Malky Mackay, a contender for Manager of the Year, and Tam Courts, who's performed wonders with Dundee United. It'll be a heck of a match. I'm not, from this distance, certain who will get the points. It looks to me a classic draw.
So what you're telling me is Graeme Alexander should have been nominated for Manager of the Year if he's two places above Malky Mackay, no? Is that not how it works?
No.
Funny that, strange.
Well, there's been a lot of that this year with these votes, isn't there? The fact that Robbie Nielsen's
not been mentioned in the Scottish Cup final.
Potentially can win the Scottish Cup, you know, so it's there's been a lot of contenders. I mean, Giovanni could win the Europa League and Scottish Cup and wasn't in it either.
I'm only at the wind-up a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, there's just a wee bit. But yeah, I think, Kenny, look, full strength Motherwell against decimated Celtic possibly wouldn't have much of a chance anyway. I think Motherwell have had this bug. They've had to patch up Kevin Van Veen and chuck him on a couple of times to go and, you know, rescue games. They're in Europe, whether it's fourth or fifth. So you get the feeling tomorrow's mostly about trophy day and a goodbye for Rogic and Beaton.
Absolutely will be. Again, you would expect, like Hugh said there, the occasion, again, complete pressure off. You'd expect the players of Celtic to turn up. They want, again, you're getting the trophy no matter what, but still, you still don't want to take it, lift that trophy after losing a game of football, you know. So it's, I would expect Celtic to go and get the result, and then it'll be decided, can Dundee United get the points to jump back into fourth? It's the only thing left to be decided.
Yeah, Ross County, Dundee United, Hearts, Rangers. I'm not sure it can even be described as a dress rehearsal when the cast is not going to be the same.
No. Q,
that wouldn't qualify, would it?
No, as I say, very interesting. I mean, half the Rangers fans have really gone to Seville. So interesting to see the crowd and how much intensity there is to the fixture when they're both walking on eggshells.
It's still goalless, 5 minutes gone, are both Inverness. Let's speak to Andy quickly on the line. Andy, what's your thoughts then? Early thoughts ahead of Wednesday?
How are you doing, guys?
Good, no,
I know, but I used to be a bit worried about I don't think Ruth's actually going to make the final. I was saying to you, I'm trying to go to Wednesday night, actually, and Ryan Jack's a worry, but I was going to ask Kenny, so if Ruth doesn't make it, who do you think you'll go? Do you think you'll go with Aribo or Sakala up front?
Kenny?
I think Aribo. I just think he's done the role really, really well, I think. And he's been effective, and over the last two or three games that he's been asked to play. I think Rangers' best spell across in Leipzig was 20 minutes in the second half when he was up there, and he gave us more of a platform to get the ball into him, to hold up. He's really good. I mean, I've said it many times on the show, I think he's very similar to Rogic in the way he takes the ball in. He uses his body so well. He always keeps the ball away from the pressure, wherever that pressure may be. Really good awareness about where it's coming from, and he's got the good technique to hold the ball up. And he does play with his back to goal a lot anyway in his normal game, so it's nothing really new to him when the ball's coming up to him and he's receiving it. So I think it would be Aribo. Definitely.
So Kemar Roof, Andy says he doesn't think he'll make it on Wednesday. Do you actually get your clue to that tomorrow? I mean, I assume he's not going to play, because it was only yesterday Giovanni Van Bronckhorst said that he hasn't even trained. He's not back training. So if he doesn't feature at all tomorrow, which it sounds like he won't, what kind of part could he play on Wednesday anyway?
Well, that he's maybe one player, if he is fit, this game might be decent for him to get some minutes in.
He didn't even train up till yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't think you'll see him even involved in a squad.
What tells you about, sorry, just quickly, does that suggest to you Wednesday's a no-go?
It may be the case that Kemar Roof had never had any chance of making it, but Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, on top of Morelos, does not want to make that public announcement about Kemar Roof. Why deflate anything? You know, everything's upbeat. Just to leave that little mystery, will he make it, will he not? Rather than say, look, he's got no chance. Maybe they're just keeping it in-house.
Ryan Jack, by all accounts, is ahead of Kemar Roof, certainly. Andy, would he be the only one? Would he need a bit of game time tomorrow whilst everyone else is getting wrapped in cotton wool, or do you just keep him patched up?
Well, I don't know, it's a hard one. It's maybe 20 minutes or something, just to get him out and running. You know what I mean? Because obviously, come Wednesday night, I mean, Steve Davis and Alan McGregor, they'll be desperate to win that final. I mean, they two have served us so well all season and already years. So, Ryan Jack, I just don't know. You know, if he's been injured and then you put him in for a cup final. It's a hard one to say.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to build up for sure, looking at the possibilities and who's in and who's out. Thank you to Andy. PR says on Twitter, the game against Hearts is that much of a dead rubber. Robbie Nielsen is letting John Souter play with Rangers. It's a wee trial ahead of next season. The playoffs are underway in League One, by the way. Now, you may remember that Edinburgh City were 2-0 up on Annan from the first leg. Within 20 minutes, it's level. Annan have come out and blitzed it early on and gone 2-0 up. So we're leveling that one. Still nothing doing between our both Inverness. And tomorrow, Airdrie Queen's Park poised 1-1 from the first leg, and it looks likely that Cowdenbeath, the Blue Brazil, will drop out altogether of the SPFL, because Bonnie Rigrose are 3-0 up from the first leg. But you never know, Maurice Ross might have a big team talk in there, might turn things around, and it would be quite an occasion if they manage it. So we'll keep an eye on them tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, big afternoon at Celtic Park tomorrow. Trophy day and a goodbye to Tom Rogic and Nir Beaton. The game is sold out. If you're sad that you're going to miss it, well, here's your 6 minute warning. You've got 6 minutes left. Text the word Celtic to 84901 and you could win a pair of tickets at the same time as donating £5 to Cash for Kids. What's not to like about that? So lines close in 5.5 minutes now, 8 o'clock. The winner will be drawn at 9. The text costs a standard message plus an optional £5 charity donation, and the full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Before we go anywhere, Hugh Keevans, you've got two more of the non-Scots who were part of the squad when Celtic clinched the invincible treble against Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup. There's hardly anyone left.
Christopher Ayer.
No. Oh, would you believe?
Eric Sviatchenko.
Eric Sviatchenko is on there. Well done. Which means you've got one more to get. So Simunovic, Boyata, Lustig, Sinclair, De Vries, Sviatchenko, Dembele, Roberts. One more. And if I put a £1 charity bet on with myself for Cash for Kids that this would be the last one that you didn't get, I would be in the money, because this is the toughest for sure. You all out, you got nothing. Or Broth, I've got a bit of defending to do. Inverness are through, but I think the ball just wouldn't quite sit right, and our Broth do recover.
I think we're at the close stage.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's not a starter, obviously. He was a backup fullback. Okay, that's not a backup right back. Kenny Miller's nodding, which means he's
I'm confident.
Getting there.
Gamboa.
Yes, Christian Gamboa. How long would we have had to extend the show, Hugh, for you to get that?
I'd forgotten he even played for the club.
Christian Gamboa. We barely knew him. Anyway, we're almost there. Still nothing doing between Arbroath and Inverness. 10 minutes gone. Goalless there. Bit of an end-to-end start. It's going to be an exciting game. Whatever happens, we will look back on it tomorrow, and we'll know which one of these teams takes on St Johnstone for the last remaining spot in the top flight next season. Celtic v Motherwell, trophy day, goodbye to Rogic and Beaton. Hearts Rangers, the worst dress rehearsal of all time for a Scottish Cup final. They've both got other things on their minds. Ross County Dundee United's a cracker as well. Can either of them overtake Motherwell, can Dundee United overtake Motherwell into fourth spot? So still football to be played tomorrow. We look forward to it. We're here at 12 o'clock. Remember, these are earlier kickoffs tomorrow. So we're here at 12 o'clock. Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, and the top team. I'll even dig out the pre-season predictions to see who got them right and who got them horrendously wrong. I'm not looking at you, Hugh Keevans. So we'll do that tomorrow afternoon. And in the meantime, GBX Anthems up next.